Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name.
If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to open them to Exodus chapter 20. There's a story in the Old Testament about a king named Josiah. During his reign, the law of God had been stored away in the temple and it had been forgotten for years. And it was rediscovered. And they brought it out and they read it again in the hearing of the people. And there was a mood of sorrow and repentance as people heard, many for the first time, the words of that book of the law. And I feel at times that as we go through the Ten Commandments, that we are hearing things that we've not heard for far too long. And this particular commandment is one that has been one that we've drifted so far from in so many ways that I think it calls on God's people to renew their commitment to God in this area again. Here in Exodus chapter 20, down in verse 7, let me read it to you from two versions. First, from the Old King James Version. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And it was read for us this morning from the New International Version. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. A lot of people say, well, you know, what's the big deal about a name? There's really nothing in a name. And the poet has even said, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Yet, all of us acknowledge that names are important to us. Parents agonize and often battle with each other over the name that their child will ultimately wear. How do you feel when someone misspells your name? Or when someone mispronounces your name? Or when someone forgets your name? You know, names are personal. Names are important to us. How would you feel if on your way home you were driving down the James River Expressway and there on the overpass you saw someone had spray painted your name there on the overpass? How would you feel if you saw your name scrawled on a bathroom wall in some public area? No, names are sacred to us. They're very important to us. We in our nation have laws that stop people from using our personal name. It's our personal property. And it's called forgery if someone takes your name and puts it on a legal document. You can't use someone else's name like that. Well, in biblical times, names held great significance, even more than they do in our day. And so you have names that were given to individuals. Maybe in your classes this morning you talked about that, how Abram was made a promise of God that he would be the father of many nations. And so God changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of multitudes. And that name was an indication of the promise that God had given him. Jesus took one of his apostles, an impetuous man by the name of Simon, and he said, I'm going to call you Peter because it means rock. And Peter would become a rock for Jesus. Well, God's name always held great significance to his people. And it was a name that indicated his very character. The name Jehovah is the covenant name of God. It speaks of his faithfulness to his people. It was so sacred that it was only pronounced once a year, and when the high priest would enter into that Holy of Holies. The scribes, when translating or when writing copies of Scripture, viewed God's name as so sacred that they would lay their pen down when they came to his holy name, and they would wash their hands, and then with clean hands would take up that pen and write the holy name of God. Jesus, the name Jesus, it was a common name at the time, but it was a name that was made holy. Joseph was told, as he contemplated what would happen with his wife Mary, he was told, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." The root derivative of the name Jesus is Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. It was a name that was so sacred that Peter, many years later, would look back and he would say, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved." In the book of Psalms, in the 119th Psalm, the psalmist says there, "Holy and reverend is your name," speaking of God. Now, just as an aside, that's why I'm uncomfortable if anyone refers to me as Reverend Bright. I'm not reverend. Anyone that knows me knows I'm not reverent. Only God is reverent. That word is only used in Scripture of God. You know, we sing the words of Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." This is a subject that's become something that is pervasive. The breaking of this commandment is pervasive in our land in two primary ways. First of all, when vows or commitments are named, calling God to witness, and then those vows or commitments are broken. And God repeatedly had to deal with his people in this very area. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, God said, "Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Don't make a pledge in my name and then break that pledge. He says in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, "When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything that he said." And how lightly today, in our courts, do people perjure themselves after promising to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth before God and man? How lightly do couples pledge in the presence of God and the gathered witnesses to honor their commitment until death do them part? No, in Ecclesiastes 5, the wise man said, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. God has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It's better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it." No, people dishonor God's name, misuse God's name in this way, but there's a much more prevalent way in which today people across this land especially are dishonoring God's name. And you hear it everywhere. You can't turn on your television. You can't go to the movies. You can't be in conversation for long with people at work without hearing it. In anger, you'll hear people calling on God to damn other people or to damn objects or situations. And anyone that knows God has got to know that is the very opposite of what God would ever want to do. God sent His Son Jesus to die a horrible death on the cross. God paid that price so that people would not be damned. And to ask God to do that in anger, It's the very opposite of the nature of God. It's asking God to do what Satan does. Satan wants to damn people, but not God. Why call on God and use His name in a curse that's being brought on your fellow man? God's name is not a curse. God's name is a blessing to mankind. And if we're not calling on God to damn something, we often hear His name being used in a casual, flippant manner. And I want to just say this because I want to be crystal clear this morning in what is forbidden in this third commandment. I don't want to be disrespectful to God, but I want to just say that these words that we hear all around us, and you'll hear people using God's name in this way, oh my God, our good God, our oh Lord, or Lordy, or my Lord, or Jesus Christ, used as expletives, used in anger, used in joy, used in surprise, used in all these different ways. And I cringe when I hear God's name used like this. And people say, but Joe, I don't mean anything by it. When I say that, I'm not reflecting negatively on God. I don't mean anything by it. But that's precisely the problem, is that God's holy name is being used in a way that is meaningless. That's what vain means. That's a vain usage of God's name. Anytime God's sacred name passes my lips, I should mean something by that. And sometimes people say, well, when I say, oh Lord, I'm not talking about God. Well, who are you talking about? There's only one Lord. When someone says, oh God, they say, well, I'm not really talking about God. Well, who are you talking about? There's only one God. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5, Isaiah records one of the laments of God. God says, all day long, my name is constantly blasphemed. I think he could say the same thing today. All day long, my name is constantly blasphemed. It's interesting because it's not always been this way. It's grown progressively worse, and any of you who are 40 or 50 years old know the truth of that. There was a time when it was not quite so pervasive as it is today. Let me take you back to a much earlier time, all the way back in the 1700s. This is a letter, or a quote from a letter, that was circulated among the revolutionary troops right here in this land when George Washington was the general. This is what he wrote to his commanding officers. The general is sorry to inform that the foolish and wicked practice of cursing, a vice heretofore little known in the American army. Can you imagine a time in the American army when cursing was little known? George Washington said, heretofore it was a vice little known in the American army, is growing in fashion. It is hoped that the officers will by example as well as by influence endeavor to stop it. We can have little hope of the blessing of heaven if we insult God with our speech. This is a vice so mean and so low that every man of sense and character despises it. Your commanding officer, George Washington. Now there's a special danger in the violation of this third commandment. Listen again to what God says. He says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. There is a seriousness attached to this, and God says, I will not hold anyone guiltless who persists in misusing my holy name. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, down in verses 35 and 36 and following, He says, every man on the day of judgment will have to give an account of every word that he speaks. He says, for by your words you will be acquitted, by your words you will be condemned. And let me just say this, because it's hard sometimes as God's people, because we slip into habits, bad habits, ungodly habits. We can begin to do this without ever thinking about it because we hear everyone around us doing it. And I don't want us to be condemning people and to be pointing our fingers at one another. Let's help each other. And if this has been something that you've allowed yourself to slip into, you need to repent. You need to change your vocabulary. You need to honor the Word of God. But as we do this, let's help each other. Let's challenge each other in positive ways and develop new habits, because it's something that any of us can easily slip into, because it is all around us and we hear it all the time. God wants us to use His name. And He wants us to use His name freely, but He wants us to always do it meaningfully. When you say, "God bless you," mean that. Use God's name to invoke blessing on the life of a person, not cursing. Use it sincerely. You know, you can use God's name in vain in our song service if you're not aware of what you're singing to God, and if you're not using His name meaningfully there. Use His name respectfully. Use His name, the wonderful, holy name of God. You know, we sing another song, "If the name of the Savior is precious to you, oh, will you not tell it today?" And we should. Jesus was given His name because of what it meant. It meant Savior. And that's what He wants to be. There's no other name, Peter said, under which we must be saved. And that's why when a person is baptized into Christ, it's done in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Folks, names mean something. There is power in a name. And there is unbelievable power in the name of our God. Those are sacred names. Let's honor Him in our speech and all we say. This morning, if there's any way that we can assist you in your life, earlier in our early service, we had one who came and she said, "I want to be part of this church, and I've been away for years and I want to be back again." And we prayed for Beverly, and we'll pray for you this morning if you have some special need. And let me say this, if you're here as a visitor and have never seen it, if anyone here is struggling in some area of their life and they simply need some strength this morning, they need some help, they need the prayers of God's people, if you'll come down here, we'll surround you, we'll sit on either side of you and put our arms around you, and we'll pray with you. We won't let you leave here without the help that God offers to all of us. If you need this morning to become a Christian, we'll gladly assist you as you do that. If you need to do it, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.